Y'all ready for the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Here in the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour, we give you that sports talk in lamest terms. It gets a little raw in here, so if you like your sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. We are your co-hosts, Chris
and Jonathan.
Yeah, so we had an interesting one last week that kind of went all over the place, but I had to do my editing fun. Skills. It was still fun. You know, shout out to Miles and Chuck and Sean for participating. Now, they get some great. It was good, man. You know how it gets when when sports fans get together and start talking.
It can go a little wild sometimes.
Right. But then, you know, there was some great points made, especially when we get into this draft.
Yep.
But let me get this business out the way. This is the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour. You can find us on blackisonline.com. You can also listen to us on Stitcher and iTunes Radio. If y'all want to hit us up directly, any comments, any feedback, just want to chop it up with us, we'd love to hear from you. TheBrothersLemon@gmail.com. On Twitter, @BrothersLemon. Hit us up on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns you guys may have, anything y'all want to know, anything y'all want to dish out to us, any joints y'all might have for us, any questions, anything, let us know. We'll definitely get back at you.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, we'll read it on the show. Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah, last week we was talking about what was going to happen in the draft and all that good stuff. Well, it has happened. And the number one pick by the Cavs, Andrew Wiggins.
Were we really shocked?
You know what?
Were we really surprised?
The funny thing was, and I think I can go back. We can go back and look since I guess we taped it. When we first started talking about the draft, before guys got into it and who was going to take, I thought Cleveland was going to take Wiggins because he was, you know, Mr. Hype. I mean, this dude is almost like the second he's been hyped almost as much as LeBron James. As terms of coming out and being that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's supposedly the athletic freak. And all that, and
we saw that tweet where he supposedly leapt like what 48 inches, some stupid number, and it was like, okay, I mean, we don't know if that was legit or not, but you know,
and it's interesting. You know, Miles said last week he wasn't really sold on him.
Neither am I.
Yeah, Sean was like, you know, we were all like, take the smart pick, it's Jabari Parker, but he said they was gonna take Wiggins. Sure enough, you know, and it sounds like, well, the finals MVP plays defense, so let's get a guy who plays defense. I mean, they're talking about this dude defense is like on point.
Well, I mean, I'll give him credit. He has come out and said he wants to be on the all-NBA defensive team, which, and to his credit, you do not hear a lot of rookies come out and say that.
No.
So especially being the number one pick, that's something you want to hear because you want a guy who's a two-way player. So if his – I mean – in college, he was a solid defender.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't great, but he was solid enough. He can use his athleticism to his advantage. But on offense, I mean, he's going to take work. He is not LeBron James, and he is not going to come out and put up damn near a triple-double in his first NBA game. I don't see that happening.
No,
that's not.
He's not taking over Kyrie Irving's spot, no. And he's not the buckets maker Deion Waiters is right now. So, I mean, for Cleveland, this is a little surprising in the sense that it was all about we about winning and winning now. But
part of it had to be due to Embiid, of course.
Yes,
because leading up, he was the guy.
Yeah.
It seemed to be that Embiid was going to be the number one pick,
mm-hmm.
And then it was like, oh, he fractured his foot, and like, oh, what? Moving on. All right.
And
so then, who's left?
Yeah, and supposedly they debated about it all up to basically the final second.
They were split. The owner wanted Wiggins, apparently, and the GM wanted Parker. But, you know.
And we know how.
The owner gets what he wants.
Right, of course. And, of course, Andrew Wiggins is the ticket seller and, you know, has the two, you know, favorite words of the draft, potential and upside.
Yep.
And then you got so much upside.
You got the Canadian connection. with Anthony Bennett and Tristan Thompson. Mm-hmm. It's closer to Canada. You got Johnny Football on Cleveland Browns, so I'm sure Cleveland, the Cavs are like, all right, well, you know, we need to make kind of a splash too. Mm-hmm. Then put us back on the map,
right?
So you know, they got their guy. Fine, you know, we'll see.
Yeah,
okay. We will see.
Right. The Bucks got who they wanted the whole damn time.
He's coming in. He's putting up 20 points a game as a rookie. I'm calling it now. That's what he's doing. I'm not going to say any other stats because I don't see him putting up 5 assists. I don't see that happening. I see him like maybe 2-3.
Yeah, right now.
About maybe 7-8 boards.
Maybe.
And then 20 plus points. Because, I mean, it's the Bucks. They don't have much.
Yeah, they still got O.J. Mayo, I guess, but whatever. He
is an NBA-ready guy. I mean, mm-hmm. we saw during his college, he can score.
Yeah.
If nothing else, he can put the ball in the hoop. So mm-hmm. I'm sure he's going to get the green light to do what he does. He's putting up 20-plus. Right. So it is what it is.
So we knew that. And then the Sixers, they
gambled.
Yeah. They've been gambling.
I heard the GM mention Duncan and Robinson. I'm like, Negro, you can't put that in the same breath. You can't do that. You can't.
Because they guess, you know.
You can't. That was a bona fide Hall of Famer already and a senior coming in who you knew was the guy.
This is
two raw prospects. Yeah. One of them last year towards ACL has no offensive game. None.
Nope.
He is a good defensive player, but he got no offensive game. And then you got Embiid, who got back problems and now a foot issue and is okay offensively, but he's raw. He's played the game like 3 years.
Yeah, but he's the second coming of Hakeem Olajuwon. I mean, God, the draft night was like, he could be Hakeem Olajuwon. Like, you know, he can be a top 5 center in the NBA. Like Hakeem. And they were like, oh, look at the dream. And he got that. I'm like, Hakeem's footwork is nobody has Hakeem Olajuwon footwork.
And the thing I don't like is that a lot of these – because these – I've started to kind of realize and notice. I didn't really notice it at first. And that was just me being naive. But when they're doing the whole draft, you know, at the – you know, when the analysts are there and stuff, I didn't realize really the prospects hear all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, hold up. All y'all are pumping their heads up. I'm like, nobody on here wants to keep it a little real with some of these kids. Yeah, he could be the next coming of Hakeem. He could also be the next coming of Manute Bol. I mean, real spit.
Right.
I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, come on. Don't put all this hype on these kids. Like, well, he could be the next coming of this.
Right. Well,
Andrew Wiggins is the next coming of Michael Jordan. And all. It's like, word. Okay, so we're going to put all this hype on this kid.
Yeah. And all these dudes came out and actually balled.
You know what I'm saying?
Hakeem Olajuwon was the first pick and balled immediately.
But you knew he was going to. We don't know with any of them. The draft was just all potential. Except for a few. I mean, Jabari Parker was the exception because he has an NBA-ready body.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the few where it's like physically he can play already.
Right.
There's no question about
that. He can get better, but in terms of coming in and making the impact right away, he can.
He can. He played somewhat out of position at Duke. Because sometimes they had him playing at the 5, which is just, I mean, because he was just a big guy.
Right.
So, I mean, now he'll play the 3 or the 4. I say he needs to play the 3.
Mm-hmm.
He play the 3. Right. But I'm sure there will be times in small ball where he plays the 4. But, I mean, he's one of the few. And, like, Andrew Wiggins, he's going to have to develop his body. He's going to have to learn how, I mean, athleticism only gets you so far. Fundamental-wise is where a lot of these guys lack. Like, Aaron Gordon, he can.
I was kind of shocked.
He's the next coming of Blake Griffin. I'm like, wait, timeout. Blake Griffin had at least some kind of offensive game. This fool shoots 40-some% from free throws. So already you're a fourth quarter liability. Already off the gate. And you have.
He's freakishly athletic.
He has no offensive game. None. He has about as much as I do.
Yeah, it's all about.
I mean, come on.
You know, it's like the NFL draft. It's like, oh well, he can run fast. You know, he tall, all that. The NBA is like, oh, he can jump. Look at how athletic he is.
Leap through the roof.
He's got an 8'9" wingspan. Like,
and then you know, moving on. And then,
but you know what? I'll say this with the Sixers. If you want to do upside, the upside is, you know, Robinson, yeah. Tim Duncan. The bottom is
Manute
Bol.
Boy.
No, I'm talking about yo squad that draft. Eddie Curry, Tyson Chandler.
Eddie Curry, Tyson Chandler. Sure. Michael Olowokandi.
Right. You know, somewhere in between. I mean, look, for Philly, they've taken risk. I mean, Nerlens Noel was supposed to be the number one pick.
Yep.
They took him. Embiid was supposed to be the number one pick. They took him. So, they're okay waiting.
They're
shooting for. They're.
I don't want to say they know they're gonna suck, but they know they're rebuilding.
Right, and they're taking
and they're seriously rebuilding,
And they're taking a chance.
Yes,
they're taking a gamble that all these guys will be what they're potentially supposed to be
when they mesh together. They want, you know. I mean, you at least see the steps they're taking to make those moves. Everybody was like, well, are they going to take a point guard and trade Michael Carter-Williams? I'm like, that would be the stupidest thing in the world to trade the rookie of the year. Why?
Right.
Why?
You drafted him.
You just solidified your point guard spot.
Right.
Why are you going to get rid of it to get a questionable dude that you know nothing about when you got a guy who proved he can play?
And they asked him on draft night. He was there. He was kind of like, well, if I'm traded. And you're like, that's got to suck.
That's,
I mean,
it's one thing if you're like
Cleveland with Anthony Bennett where he underperformed.
Yeah.
MC Dub came out, put up like 2 triple doubles the first week. You were like, oh,
he can ball.
He can play. Okay. It was like, they didn't play well, but this dude really was like, okay, we got something with this guy. And he was picked like 9th.
And in fairness to Anthony Bennett, with everybody crapping on him, that draft as a whole sucked. Cleveland didn't want the pick.
They couldn't get rid of it.
Look at this draft. Everybody and their mama was trying to trade up with Cleveland to get the number one pick. Last year, Cleveland couldn't give that pick away to anybody. Yeah. They didn't want it.
And Cleveland didn't even know who they wanted now.
Thank you. It's like, come on. So, everybody on Anthony Bennett's case, look, he was a rookie last year. He got off to a bad start. Yes. Let the man get a new... Right. He got a fresh season. He's not injured, so he's going in healthy. Let's see what happens now. Let's give the boy a chance. Damn.
Yeah. These drafts are not for now. Unless you're getting a guy like
Marcus Smart, right. A senior, somebody who...
Right. Jabari Parker, somebody who's like, this guy can come out and contribute
and
immediately.
Right away, yes.
Everybody else, you just like, I hope by year 3 they balling.
It's a roll of the dice. Yep. It's all crapshoot. So,
yeah. And then we got Aaron Gordon, who was like...
That was like...
Like you said, I know he's an athlete, but it's like, okay... Is he like his, fellow Wildcat who
Derrick
was
Williams?
A pick who's like a 3-4-ish? We don't know.
Had no position. I mean, in a sense, yes. He has no offensive moves. He really doesn't. So they picked that more for, I guess, his defensive potential. Because, I mean, defensively, yes, he can play in the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
But offensively, he, I'm not expecting much of anything from him.
They're just stacking to me. Yeah. Magic just keep adding guys.
Yeah.
You know, and then...
you got Dante.
Yeah, I thought he was going to
Australia. Orlando.
And people was crabbing on him.
Why?
Just in the fact that, he ain't nobody seen him. I was like, that means he's wanted even more.
Exactly. Oh, you're a senior? Oh, my God. I even heard... It's kind of funny because you hear some of the commentators and you're like, yeah, the more they stay, the more they plummet, which is kind of like, ain't that a bitch? Shouldn't it be role reversal?
It feels because it's like, well, we've seen him.
Well,
so we've seen him.
We know what he can do already. Thank you. You know what he can do. You know he can come in and give you. Okay.
It's like this dude.
I don't believe that with anybody.
It's like this dude 19 and we ain't seen him. Oh, his upside is great. Well, this other dude, 22, we seen him for 2 years. Well, he doesn't have much room. Like, dude, in 3 years, so basically from this point on, he ain't going to do nothing else. Like, Blake Griffin was a terrible free throw shooter. So for the next 12 years in the league, he's just going to be terrible free throw shooting.
My thing is, they're going from college. You're going from college to a job. So with any job, with the job interview, of course, they're going to weed out and try to find who they want. Of course, a lot of times with jobs, same as the NBA, they bank on your potential. This guy potentially could be a great employee.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things, you know, you have a guy who might have an associate's degree, didn't fully finish college, but he has all these extracurriculars. He has a great personality, outgoing and all this. And then you got a guy, 4-year degree, you know, ABC, he's done this, that, and the other. You know, valedictorian, whatever, and you're kind of like, but his personality, I don't really, you know, I don't. So it, I understand from that aspect, but at the same time, when it's the, this is the NBA. I'm like, when you got a dude, a la, and I keep bringing him up, a la a Tim Duncan, where you know what he can do. He's a solid, he's proven, he's balled in the, in college. I mean, what more do I need to do? I mean, seriously, I've proven myself.
Oh, yeah. So, you know the Celtics happy.
Oh, yeah. Marcus Smart, they got my dude. I was like, work. Thank you. No. Good. Somebody got smart and picked him up.
To let the Rondo trade rumors begin.
Of course. Of course, they can play off each other.
I mean, you know, but then it's like, what are we supposed to do? Not take Marcus Smart if we got him, if he's number one on our draft board at that. Thank you. Once, you know, all the other guys who are higher fall, I'm supposed to be like, well, I don't know if he can play a Rondo. You like, do we suck?
That's.
I need, let me take the best guy available.
Thank you.
You know, granted, I mean, you know, we had that topic with, you know, Elton Brand and all that. Shout out to Dale, shout out to Locash. And on him on Twitter about that. I'm glad he's standing up for his boy.
Hey, go ahead and stand up for Marcus Fisher, dog. I told you. Tim Floyd was the only reason. That was it. So.
Well, yeah, I like the pick.
Yeah.
You know, so, and the draft was basically all, there wasn't no jumps. And the Lakers, you know.
Hey, hey. I know y'all probably mad at me because I crap on you all the time. Y'all made a good pick.
That's what we said last week.
I just don't want Laker fans out here like, see, that I knew that's what we should. I knew that's what we was taking from the beginning. Like, hold on, hold on. All I heard was Embiid this and Dante Exum this and all this other stuff. I rarely heard Julius Randle.
And I heard it's like, uh-oh, Dante Exum falling.
Yeah, exactly.
Laker fans was getting happy.
Yeah, exactly. So, y'all know who y'all want. Y'all know who y'all really wanted. Y'all wanted Dante Exum. But it's all good. I mean, Julius Randle is a solid player. He could be the next Zach Randolph. Yes, he could be. He could be. He could also be the next, who's my boy who got traded, Robert Tractor Trailer.
Yep.
Who got traded for Dirk Nowitzki. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing stuff out there. So if we're going to put him high, I got to get them little lows too. So
yeah, he should be giving you some solid low post scoring, some boards. He can come out and by the end of the. His rookie season gave you like 14-8, something like that. I mean,
he seemed very passionate about being there. This is where he wanted to go. He tweeted a picture of himself in the Kobe jersey and all that stuff. So, I mean, you know, he's passionate. He's hungry, so good.
He's out to prove something, so that was cool. And then from that point on, it was like, okay, let's see how this draft is going to play out.
And then Nick Stauskas.
Yep, for the Kings.
For the Kings. That was a head-scratcher for me. I said personally, I was like, they got to take this kid. Noah Vonleh.
Yeah,
I was like, that's who they got to get. He was gift wrapped for them. Nope. We'll stick with Jason Thompson. What?
They don't want another power forward.
I'm like, come on. I know they are so banking on Carl Landry coming back, and I'm just like, come, stop it.
They're trying to trade for
God, Jesus. And do not trade Isaiah Thomas. Y'all are nuts. Oh, my
God. Yeah, we'll get into that one. Would you like Magic also getting trading for Efrain Payton?
Getting their point guard. He's a guy I really didn't know much about, coming out. But everybody from what I heard, he's another one. He's a good defender at point guard. Orlando needed a point guard. Everybody was like, oh, they passed up on Dante Exum. So
that was shit.
They got their point guard for the future. So, good for them. I'm happy for them. Now they can slide Oladipo to the two where he should play. As far as what they're going to do now from this point, I don't know. I guess now it's just kind of letting the guys grow together. I mean, they traded Aaron Aflalo to get cap room. So
yeah, I didn't get that.
They're going to pursue who?
I didn't get that at all.
I don't know who they're going after in free agency. Or maybe they're just clearing caps. I don't know. They're rebuilding.
Yeah, when them trading Aaron Flowers to the night for Evan Fournier and the 54 pick,
But like,
why are you giving this dude up for nothing?
I told Chris, I have a feeling that when LeBron James opted out, a lot of teams were like, I got to put that trade on pause real quick to see what LeBron's going to do. I'm telling you, I swear that's what happened. Because I heard rumors that the Bulls were looking at him, Cleveland, they were offering him what? Him, the 4th and the 12th pick? For the number one, Cleveland should have took that immediately if that was the case. But I have a feeling when Mr. King opted out, everybody was like, pause. All transactions on hold till the King does what he does. And, it was like, all right, we got to sell him for peanuts then.
Yeah, I'm saying. so let me you get into your boy, Dougie Mac.
Hey, you want to talk about proving? How about the first senior taken? Mr. Doug McDermott, Yes, thank you. He's going to come in and do what? Immediately contribute. I ain't banking on no potential. This kid is already good. 3,000 plus points in college. Only 5 people have done it. Yes, we need scoring. That's been our biggest liability. Mm-hmm. We got it. We need 3-point shooting. We got 2-1. And got rid of both of our picks, so we saved money for Carmelo. Super bonus.
Yeah, of course.
Get him, son.
Of course, I read somewhere. I think that was in Basketball Insiders. That
I don't care.
About having to take Anthony Randolph.
I don't care. And you know what? We can trade him for nothing. We can trade him for peanuts, too. Some of these trades, I'm like, even make sense. Yeah,
y'all just wanted Dougie Mac.
Yeah, we wanted Doug McDermott. Right, we'll take stupid Anthony Randolph if you want us to. Another one who has never lived up to his potential ever.
Nope.
You see flashes still, but he's athletic.
He's just
he's athletic. I mean, seriously, that's all he is.
So much upside.
Yeah, he's so athletic. It's like the next coming of KG. Like,
he speaks so well. Yeah. He's so athletic.
So, I mean, hey, I'm loving what the Bulls did. That was wonderful. Yeah. Everybody craps on his defense. I'm like, he went to the perfect place where they can mask it up with team defense.
Holla. And the draft overall was pretty good. I mean, I like Boston also getting James Young.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's a solid first round.
Banking on potential.
Yeah.
It's just all
but
potential.
They got guys who can put it up.
Yeah.
Of course, we know the Heat trading for LeBron's favorite player
in the draft. But he was a senior. He's a senior. He's playing the big moments. Got 2 chips.
Right. They needed a point guard.
I mean,
he's proven.
To be fair, yes, part of it was for LeBron, but I mean, part of it, they had a need at point guard. I mean, Mario Chalmers is a free agent. He ain't coming back. They trying to trade Norris Cole. Fine. To get his contract off the books. I'm like,
the thing was funny. Like, the only reason you probably wouldn't have drafted Shabazz Napier is if LeBron just was like, that's a whack. I don't want him. But even if you were like, even if he wasn't LeBron James' favorite player, it's like, he was falling. Dudes was like, somebody going to pick him up. And it's like, well, clearly the team that need a point guard, go ahead and get him.
And it's funny. I like how Pat Riley spent it. You know, LeBron and I have the same taste in players. Oh, really? That's what it is. Okay.
Empower this dude.
That's funny.
You going to give him GM? He going to be next to you as GM, making all the damn decisions?
Yep.
Oh, Lord.
But, yeah, all in all, pretty solid draft for the most part.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, before we leave, I just got it. I got to say. Well, I heard
something. Oh, yeah.
Man, ESPN and.
I tweeted, man. I had to. I was like, Bill Simmons, dude, he looked so uncomfortable up there on that podium. I was just like, I'm almost got to turn this off, dude. I don't even want to watch this anymore. I almost turned the mute button.
Yeah, why is it? You didn't need him for viewership.
You did not.
You were actually losing viewership. I mean, this dude was basically the comic relief, having moments where he was like, yeah, I saw him on YouTube, and I need to YouTube that guy. I'm like, I don't need somebody up there telling me about these picks and saying, let me YouTube them.
Thank you.
I'm like,
this is why the NFL draft is prime time. Well, this is why the NFL draft can be 4 days.
Well, and everybody's watching.
Because but you have Todd McShay, you have, who's my boy? Todd McShay and Mel Kiper, who you know that all they do is look at the draft year after year after year. The NBA doesn't have anybody like that, really. You have Jay Billis, who honestly is, he's a college analyst.
Right.
He's not like a dude who is like, I'm focusing on strictly the draft.
No, but I could deal with. Yeah, I could deal with Jay Billis because he's their guy.
No, I like Jay Billis. Right.
And he works because it's all mostly college guys. Who was the dude who was hosting?
I forget his name.
Yeah, but he does college football.
Yes.
And I was like, okay. But then it's like, well, we got the NBA crew. I'm like, Jalen Rose.
Yeah, I can tolerate Jalen.
Yeah, I can tolerate Jalen sometime. But then he goes real homer when it's all Detroit and all that. I'm like, okay. But Bill Simmons, I mean, I'm like, this dude is not adding anything of value. Give me Doug Collins. I would take Doug Collins because he can understand how to use these guys into the NBA. Because he's giving you the coach's perspective.
Or like PJ Carlissimo or something. I mean,
yeah,
NFL uses Herm Edwards. I mean, come on. We need. I mean, you got
between
the
ESPN and ABC. You couldn't find one. You couldn't find four guys. Like the dude that they had. I can't even. I'm not. The dude that they had who was breaking down all the international guys.
Yes.
I'm like, why isn't he on the big table? He's giving me like insight. He was like, yeah, we seen this dude. And
just like the cat from Toronto, where he was like, he's 2 years away from being 2 years away.
Yeah, I'm like, why isn't he up here the whole time?
Thank you.
Especially now that with the way the salary cap is, guys are doing a lot of picking and stashing. You know, give me somebody with some international flavor, but damn.
Because, I mean, that honestly, that's what I want to see. When they call the players, I like to hear the bios and what the player, what they say about them. And the pretend, I like to hear that stuff.
I would even take I'd even take Dickie V over him.
Yes.
Because even though Dickie V sometimes will be a homer for like the 60th pick, and he'd just be like, oh, this dude great. At least he would tell me something about the guy that I may not know being, you know, a novice watcher.
Yes.
Or at least being like, hey, I seen the kid play. He's good at this. He's good at this. And it's not like I'm reading it. He's like, yeah, I know that dude.
Exactly.
Because even, or the guy who works alongside Dickie V. I mean, give me somebody else.
Where's my boy Andy Katz?
Where is Andy Katz? Come on.
I'm saying.
Well, somebody.
You know, hey, ESPN, hire us. If you want us to just focus on the draft, I will do so.
Where's Chad Ford at?
Thank you.
I mean, you give me. I'm looking on the site.
Where's my boy Tom Penn? Yeah. I mean, come on.
They got all these dudes. Even the dude who was working a little monitor talking about cap-wise. I'm like, somebody.
Just give me something.
I wanted to save him for the moment at the end, but I couldn't. I'm like, this dude is.
He got to stop. We can't have him on there. He's making y'all ratings drop.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to leave him on for games and stuff,
that's real talk.
Yeah, I mean, if you want him on for games,
that's fine.
I'll tolerate it. But for the draft,
no.
Please fix that, ESPN. Please fix that. All right, man. All right, let's move on. Now we got the draft over. Free agency, July 1st. Here we go. Mr. Big, LeBron James opted out. Of course, everybody was like, he opted out. He only wants to stay in Miami. What? I mean, granted, it was a week later, but it was a week early. But Fools was like, oh, LeBron just opted out. He leaving Miami.
His wife tweeted, Cleveland.
Yeah.
She tweeted Akron. Here we come.
I mean, I hear pros going in.
I told you. I said on the last show, LeBron James is opting out so he can re-sign and be paid the most money. Period.
Yep. And of course, we found out today that, you know, because I mean, we already talked about it. It felt fucked up that, you know, why does, oh, not Dwayne Wade better opt out or he leaving? I'm like, well, I want money. We know LeBron James is going to get, he can say, I want 25 mil. Okay, if that's what it takes keeping you.
Get whatever you want.
We'll just make it work.
They all opted out. The whole freaking team opted out.
Yep.
So.
Wade opted out. Bosh opted out. Haslam opted out.
So they have a record $55 million available. And I'm going to tell you how the distribution is going to go. LeBron James getting 25. That's going to leave 30. Which means Chris Bosh is getting 15, D Wade's getting 10, and then that leaves $5 million to spread across to everybody else. Boom! There you have it.
Oh, they not? I guess that leaves no room for Carmelo Anthony. I mean,
let me say this: that was a pipe dream. Do you really think everybody is sitting here like, oh, we have to clear as much room as possible to get Carmelo? Why doesn't my? So you're telling me Carmelo Anthony is going to take? For, like, going to Chicago or Houston, he'd have to probably take a pay cut. But going to Miami, he'd have to take a massive pay cut. You're telling me he's going to all four of them are going to take a massive pay cut to be like, yeah, let's all four team together. We got no size. We're going to get beat on the boards always. Anybody who got bigs, it's a wrap for us. But you know what? We might make it to the finals. Hell no. That don't make no sense. It makes no sense. At least now, the three of them opt back in. You re-sign. You have Shabazz Napier. You got LeBron, Chris Bosh, D-Wade. Fine. You can find other guys to sign for minimum.
Yeah, it's
because you know dudes are gonna do it.
It's hard to do. I mean, you even had Phil Jackson, who's trying to tell Melo to sell less, and we already or to take
he's,
less.
He heard the podcast, and Phil is stealing my lines. Talking about, well, Carmelo said he would take less, and it's about winning. So I'm like, Phil, I said that first. That's my card for Carmelo to come to Chicago.
Phil is doing that. Let me throw it out in the media to motivate. Because it's like, well, you said you was going to opt out. I mean, you said you was going to take less. So let's see if you really going to take you and buy. I thought that's what you said.
Yeah, and the Bulls are like, yeah, we're going to tell you that behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. We're not going to let the media know.
I mean, it's really, like I'm saying. I mean, how much do you he can make 25 there at the max, 25 a year. He goes anywhere else, the max he can make is 20. You're asking this dude to take $5 million less. If he goes to Miami and they were all scheduled to make 20, so basically it was 60 between them. Now you want to split 60 between four of them. So now instead of making 25, he want to come there and make 15. But we all know it ain't going to be split evenly. LeBron is going to be like, I get the big piece.
Mm-hmm.
He was making, they could have made 20. Is he going to be like, well, I need to make 20 still?
Yep.
You know, is Dwayne Wade, he could have made 20. Oh, we need you to take 13. You're like, what? 13? You know, and then, I mean, even Phil said he was like, that blueprint is difficult. Mm-hmm. How are you going, and then you're going to get Shane, all right, Ray Allen made $3 million. You're going to find it, basically, Shane Battier made three. Even Shane Battier, he was like, I ain't taking less. I'm not taking the minimum.
Yep.
When he was playing, I was like, I'll take a little bit less than I can get, but I ain't taking the veteran's minimum.
Yep. And then you have guys like that, yeah, who are like, I love playing here, but I'm not just going to devalue myself, my worth. So.
Yeah, and you need some youth. So I was like, so what guy are you going to get? How young are you talking about? You going to get somebody in their third, fourth year who wants to be a role player? I mean, Derek Fisher in his prime was not taking no $1-2 million.
So look out for Wesley Johnson, cat from the Lakers, Kent Bazemore.
Yeah, that's what they want.
Some of these young cats who will sign for, a million or so, and that'd be good.
Yeah, and a role player. Yep. But, that means, okay, Ray Allen coming back. Since everybody been saying, well, wherever LeBron James go, Ray Allen going. Clearly, Ray Allen coming back. Is he taking like a meal?
I heard Udonis Haslam said he wants somewhat of a raise, but he wants a multi-year deal. And then you got, who else we got? Chris Anderson. Word on the street is he may or may not be back due to, salary cap implications. So we don't know going forward what they're going to do. So, we'll see. Come July 1st, we will see what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, we'll get teams get to talking and see what happens. Yep. I heard you say LeBron James talking about he ain't got no schedule.
Yeah, he has no scheduled visits with any, opposing teams right now. So that's different from what he did the last time when he scheduled his visits prior to free agency starting. He ain't talked to nobody. So clearly it seems like he's going back to Miami. And also, word on the street is LeBron said he is playing for the maximum or close to it. So, like I said, LeBron James opted out so he can get that max money because I'm tired of taking a pay cut. This is one of the few times I've ever seen where the best player, no question, like there's no argument he's the best player in the league, has taken a pay cut. He's always... The best player should always be paid the most.
Especially in his prime.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, he's 29 years old. Pay me. It's time. I'm getting my max money. Because I have been playing nice since day one.
And he's what, 29?
He's been going 11 years strong and has been underpaid.
Yeah, and his time to get the max is now. If he waits 4 years from now. Not really.
No, I'm not.
He's in his prime years.
You've been worn. The wear and tear is too much at this point. But now, yes, I'm cashing in. So, booyah! There you have it.
I can't. Hey, everybody, hope. Yeah, I still agree. I'm agree with you. I think they're coming back. Who they can get to add?
It's gonna be basically the same crew. Of people.
You just throw in some $1 million veterans.
It's gonna be basically the same group of people. James Jones, I heard, is coming back.
Are you serious?
They're probably gonna try to re-sign Rashard Lewis. It's gonna be the same basic group of people.
Michael Beasley, and I mean, he wasn't even making a million.
He may sign for the. I don't know what he's going to do.
Greg Olin's going to be an impact guy.
Yeah, he.
I like his suit. He's been rocking all playoffs.
Sign him for the minimum as well. So I mean, I don't know. So like I said, it's probably going to basically be the same set of people on their team because most people aren't just going to come play for peanuts.
Yeah, because right now, all the big players in free agency right now, just the Bulls. Who you? I think as well that Melo should go there.
Boom!
I would hope he'd take, like 17. I wouldn't. I don't know if he'd take 15, like $5 million off a year. But would you take, like, 16, 17 so they can keep Taj Gibson?
That's the key, man.
Yeah, but,
that's the key. I'm like, dude.
Guys are willing to move. It's like, we'll get the superstar. We're willing to move whoever is necessary.
I think the Bulls are really – I mean, because I've heard that – Melo wants Taj Gibson to stay there, which, of course, he does. So, I mean, I'm sure basically, and John Paxson and Tom Thibodeau and all them have come out and said already, they pitch is, we trying to win. Do you want to win?
Mm-hmm.
That is our pitch, dog. Are you trying to win some rings? We're trying to win some championships here. We are on the cusp. We've been without our star player for 2 years. You've seen that we've, even without him, we've done well. I mean, dog, all we're missing is scoring. You are the missing link. You come here, you're in the East still. You come here, we'll immediately be up there with Miami as far as contention for the East.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately. Especially if we keep Taj Gibson. If you keep Noah Gibson, Anthony, and Rose, and you throwing some Doug McDermott, what's happening? And Jimmy Butler, what?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Pressure.
They said drafting Doug McDermott basically gave him the green light to trade Mike Dunleavy to clear up more cap space. They going amnesty Boozer. There it is. Yes.
And you just let him take
Kirk
less.
Kirk Heinrich signed for the veteran minimum. There it is.
Yeah. You just pay him. Maybe you pay him more on the back end. Like, hey, just take.
Thank you.
Take the low money now and then in years.
We'll pay you back. Right. You know what I'm saying? Years, when Derrick Rose's contract comes off,
right.
We'll pay you a little more.
Right. Years 3 and 4. That's when you get your 25 mil.
Thank you. I'm like, come on, Carmelo. Like Phil said, if it's about winning, you want to win rings, dog? You can win a ring possibly as soon as next year. All you got to do is sign on the dollar line, Chicago. There it is.
Yeah, and then of course you got the Rockets who traded a seat to the New Orleans Pelicans for the 2015 first round pick, which is top three protected.
Yeah,
and I was like, okay, we knew that was coming. I like that for. I know he's in his last year. I like that for the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. They said they're not trading.
The only thing that really boggles my mind with this crap, it really blows my mind, is that I'm like, okay, they got Dwight Howard. They paid the max, right?
Yeah, he's making about 20 million.
They have James Harden.
Who's making like 17 or 20 around that.
Okay. So, I'm like, how is it that they can just do this, a wave of the magic wand? Oh, we have all this cap space now to sign Melo. And I'm like, wait a minute. And my Bulls are struggling. How is Houston just able to just make money appear like this out of the sky? We automatically got cap room. Bam.
Okay, so
Dwight Howard. Bam.
Yeah, so Howard's
making. Bam.
Yeah, Dwight Howard is making a 21 mil for next season.
So they and
James Harden making 14.
They made my boy Chandler Parsons a restricted free agent. Now, if he's going to be re-signed,
well, it won't. They can still add guys. They won't be limited to what they can offer him because he's on their team. But it can push them over the cap. It's not as we can only offer, this is our max we can offer him. Like, they can pay him. They're just not going to pay him first. Which, I ain't going to, hey,
risky.
Look, I'm not going to lie.
Risky,
if I'm a team and you've seen how teams do that, they're going to be like, I'm going to offer him a gang of money right now. You got 3 days.
They're going to do the damn with basically Houston did to New York and Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to offer them kind of, maybe small money up front. And they're going to backload that crap. And then a lot of teams with that backloaded contract don't like, especially when it's not a star player.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like giving them backloaded contracts. Not at all. So
no. We'll
see. It's going to be interesting. Then you got Dallas.
Yep.
I got to give Phil some credit. His first trade as GM, it wasn't bad. He traded Tyson Chandler. traded Mr. I got guns all everywhere, yeah, Mr. Reitenfelden. And he got him Jose Calderon, who I love. I love I like Jose Calderon. So
got Dallin Bear. Shane Larkin, who was a promising rookie, who was a problem last year, Wayne Ellington, and two picks.
Yeah, so he did a good job and was able to use one of those picks to get Clea Anthony, who's my boy? Clea Anthony, from Wichita State.
Yeah, which is a nice pick. Phil's
doing the magic. But I'm like, hey, Phil, that stuff, the comments you are using and saying about Carmelo. Yeah, I don't know, man, because for me, part of that, I'm like, dude, I think you might be rubbing him the wrong way a little bit when you do that, especially just out in the media like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, me personally as a guy, if you're trying to sell me on something, going out to the media and the public and saying, oh, he should do this and this and this because he said this, and it's like, you know, yeah, and you know, but I wouldn't. I mean, you know, of course, in public, I'm not going to talk smack about him. But behind the scenes, man, I'm kind of like, I don't really like him going to the media like that about me.
No, I wouldn't either. You know, I think Dallas did. Even though I know they didn't want to lose Calderon. I mean, they like Tyson Chandler and what he brought to the team, and they've missed him since he left.
Yep.
And Tyson Chandler has almost 15 mil coming off the books. So they were like, he's money. Dirk is a free agent.
And said he would take a discount. Yeah,
he made 22 last year. I'm sure he'll probably make.
He said he'll make about 12.
Wow.
I think he's going to do something similar to what Duncan did.
It depends who they get. But I could see him saying, like, all right, well, I'll take. If they can't do that, maybe I'll take. He meant 22. Maybe I'll take 15 with a 2 year, like 30 mil, and the second year is a player option. I'll just opt out again. Because, Sean Marion, he's off the books. He was making 9 mil last year. Vince Carter, he was making 3 last year. He's off the books. So they got the room.
He said, I mean, and Mark Cuban said he's not giving out max contracts.
No.
For Carmelo, in all honesty, if you're going to go to an organization like that, you're going to have to take a pick.
Yeah, they draft well. Yeah. They're very smart. Rick Carlisle is a great coach.
Yep.
Push the Spurs to 7.
Yep.
I mean, he's good. And he knows how to use
them. He's going to ride that, too, in that little sit-down with Carmelo.
Yeah.
Did you see how we pushed the Spurs and how they blew by Miami?
He's a top five coach. I mean, he's really proven himself. You know, Dirk Nowitzki is unselfish.
Yep.
And a guy who he makes clutch baskets. Yep. And he can still put up 20 points.
Yep.
And he basically give you 20 and 10.
Yep.
You know, Tyson Chandler is, and that's the thing. Like, I heard all that about them not getting along. I'm like, was it because he didn't get along with Mike Woodson?
Yeah.
Or he just didn't get along with Carmelo?
Well, I heard he said he's going to recruit him, so clearly they're fine.
Yeah, I was like, they say Tyson Chandler's one of the good guys in the league and as a leader. So I'm like, I see on Phil's point, like, well, I got rid of some of that locker room tension. Or is he talking about Raymond Felton?
I think he's probably talking about Raymond Felton.
Yeah, because of the black eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but granted, it's like you got a veteran head coach versus Derek Fisher.
Exactly.
So.
Boy.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting.
Yep.
Speaking of coaches, let's talk about some interesting stuff. First, we got the Cavs. We didn't bring up hire Maccabi David Blatt to be their head coach for Maccabi Tel Aviv. You know, first international coach. I mean.
Hey, everybody's got to start somewhere. You got to give somebody. I mean, Cleveland wasn't going to get a high-profile coach.
No.
So, you know, you go with the next best thing. You go international. I mean, that seems to be a lot where the league is going now. And he was a great coach there. So he's going to use some of the Princeton offense. I'm sure LA fans are aware of what that is and don't care for it.
Yep. But, you know that.
But, I mean, I wish him luck. You know, I'm curious to see how he does. I mean, you know, it's first international coach, big deal. And, you know, in the city of Cleveland, real good luck to you, dog. Cause,
I mean, you got some pieces.
Yeah, to work with. But
so we'll see what happens.
Make sure you play Mr. Wiggins a lot.
Yes.
Or you will not hear the end.
No, I think it's a solid hire. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll see how it goes. But I think he's proven. We'll see how his game translates to the U.S. game. But, I like it.
Yep.
And this news that we heard today,
Crazy.
Yeah, so Jason Kidd, who 2 years ago was playing for the Knicks.
Who I crapped on.
Yeah, so we crapped on him. Who had a decent rookie year? He had his growing pains, but, you know, all in all.
It was all right.
He did all right.
He did okay.
Went to the ownership and was like, yeah, I want what all these other coaches is getting. Can I be the VP of basketball operations? And they're like, well, we got Billy King. No, you won't have to fire Billy King, but I want to be over Billy King. And they were like, no.
All right, fine. And then apparently Milwaukee has called them for permission. And according to sources, the Nets have granted it. Yeah, and like, hey, go ahead and talk to him then.
Right.
So he wants power that Stan Van Gundy,
mm-hmm.
Doc Rivers,
mm-hmm.
who else we got?
Phil Jackson, once he steps down.
Yeah, Phil Jackson.
Greg Popovich.
There's a common theme among these coaches. They all win.
Yeah.
I mean, they have all been proven. They've all done the work. They have all put in the hard work, sweat and tears, and all the years to get to this point. This is not that's the thing that kind of rubs me the wrong way. It's like, Negro, you've been in this a year. These guys have been in here 10 plus.
Right.
They pay their dues. You have not, because you were a player. So what? Who cares? And you weren't even that great as a head coach. I'm not going to forget the whole, oh, hit me so I can spill. Yeah, I'm not going to forget the little tactics like that. Come on, dude. So, for him, the audacity of this man. Right.
After you got your butt kicked by Miami?
The audacity. I mean, come on, dude. So, get out of here with that. And then he got rid of Lawrence Frank. I don't know what's going on with him. He's having a power trip.
Lawrence Frank is
having a power trip. He need to calm down.
Yeah, I understand the Lawrence Frank stuff a little bit, but yeah, the fact that you're like, I just completed my first year, now I want more power. Like, dude, now if you play like 3-4 years, you know, Billy King is sucking as a GM, they're not making great moves, and you want that kind of power. Okay. You know, but come on. See, after 1 year of coaching,
I'm going to act like I ain't even here.
Even if you won a championship, they'd be like, no.
No. No.
Hey, I brought the Brooklyn a championship. Can I get...
Good for you.
Can I get VP? Can I get a new title? No, man.
No.
Because the thing is, if you won, then it'd be like, damn, Billy King is a genius.
Yep.
He made all these moves. That's great. Oh, and now we're going to give you power over him?
Right.
Kick rocks, dude.
Oh, my God. You want to have power over the dude who hired you. Okay. He hired me, but now I'm better than him. Okay. Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. And there's some other stuff we had money.
Some quick tidbits.
Rudy Gay exercised his 19.3 option.
Smart move, because yes. He wasn't going to make that much money anywhere else. But I heard he likes it in Sacramento. They have a nice core. Resign Isaiah Thomas. They have a nice core with him, Rudy Gay, and DeMarcus Cousins. And you build around that. I mean,
somebody going to pick up Isaiah Thomas.
I keep hearing Rajon Rondo's name pop up there. Yep. I keep hearing it. So if they go for that, for the big splash and get Rajon, you know, that's fine and dandy for them. Go ahead and do it. I mean, I wouldn't be mad at him for doing it.
No.
But, you know, hey. I heard Rudy Gay wants to sign an extension there to stay there long term. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe he'll bust what your boy Zach Randolph did.
Isaiah Thomas is going to go to a solid team.
And ball.
Yep. And be efficient and win. Oh, yeah. And Zach Randolph.
Show me the money.
Signed him a 2-year, $20 million extension with the Grizzlies. Said he wants to retire there.
But that's comparable.
After he signed $16 million. Yeah, because he knows, like, look, Marc Gasol going to be a free agent in a minute. I don't want to lose Marc Gasol.
Thank you. God, Jesus Christ.
You know, I know that we need some shooting. You know, Tayshaun Prince getting old. You know, I bet you, like, look, Mike Conley going to be here. I want to make sure Marc Gasol get here, and we need to build some pieces.
That's what I'm talking about. This is how you make a perennial contender every year.
Yes, he's making $16 million this year.
Sacrifices.
No, it is. After signing, he opted in for his $16 million, and now he's like, all right, I'll take this 2-year 20.
Boom.
You know, I'm getting old, but, hey, let's work something out.
Exactly. There you go.
That's smart.
And
then,
so.
Speaking of somebody who may be getting paid, Blazers offer LaMarcus Aldridge a 5-year, $108 million extension.
Brother earned it.
Oh, he has.
Brother has earned it over the years that he has been balling. And he deserves to be paid like the elite power forward because he is an elite power
forward. Oh, no. Yeah, he is an elite power forward. So
he deserves the cash. I'm sure.
Ooh, that's a big.
That's a lot of money, but, you know, they don't want to lose him. They can't afford to lose him.
No.
So he's coming up for free agency soon. It ain't like, no, you ain't reaching it. Sign now.
So. He's making 16 now. I think that comes out. I think I did the map earlier. It comes out about 21 mil. So, like, if I mean, bump it. Man, that's good. Mm-hmm. It's not like it sounds big over long, over but long I mean, term, like a $5 million increase in pay. Oh, he deserves that.
Oh, yeah.
He deserves that.
With some of the contracts some of these cats be making. Oh, yeah.
That's good. Oh, and then we forgot. Is Pau Gasol really going to go to the Knicks? No. I mean, I understand him listening.
No. Yeah, he'll listen to the pick.
But I mean, but like.
Once he hears the dollars.
$4 million.
Once he hears the dollars, he's going to be like, okay.
I mean, really. I mean, honestly, if you're willing to play for $4 million, just stay in Los Angeles. Because they'll be like, oh, you want to take $4 million to stay? Here. We'll definitely pay you for that.
I personally think he wants to move away from LA. I do. Just because he has been so destroyed by the fans, man. The fan base has crapped on him. And he has not deserved it at all. So I think part of him is just like, look, I love it here. You guys are great. But I can't. I'm done, man. I can't deal with these people anymore. It's ridiculous. I don't want to be somewhere I'm not wanted and where I'm not appreciated.
I don't blame him either.
I don't.
I expect him to leave.
I don't.
You keep talking about. I mean, clearly, if you like, we going to get LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony. You ain't got room for Pau Gasol.
You haven't even mentioned Pau Gasol. Secondly, you drafted somebody who plays this position.
Ooh. He can play center. Well, I don't get know. Well, we don't know who's coaching.
Okay. Well, your new power forward is named Julius Randle. So, Pau Gasol, he got his time to shine. And, I mean, he's got a few places he can look at.
Mm-hmm.
Does he want to? I don't know if he wants to go to Houston to play with Dwight Howard again. I don't know. I don't know. Who knows? No,
he can handle it. I don't know if the rest of them can.
You know, does he want to go back? I can't go back to Memphis. There ain't no real room for him. Does he want to go to Charlotte? Team up next to Al Jefferson. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Does he want to go to Orlando and show young Aaron Gordon how it's done?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. You know, I don't know.
He's got choices. We know he's
got options.
He's not. He should be.
I've heard the Bulls, but I think the Bulls are like a second option if they don't get Carmelo.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like I don't really know where he'd fit in that equation. But whatever.
Keep Todd Gibson on the bench.
Yeah, keep and, a three-man rotation.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe so.
Okay. Yeah, it's fine.
But yeah, it's been interesting, man. I cannot wait to see how this plays out.
Monday's is going to be news, and more news.
Where are they going?
Rumors. And I love it because 9 o'clock p.m. here is when it starts.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, cool. Well, I'm up so I can at least keep up with some of the stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's like Tuesday, July 1st. Here we go.
Boom! Let's
go. Signing where? Where's LeBron James going? Because can't nobody do nothing until the King signs.
I'm like, while everybody else is amazed by the King, Chicago need to sneak in through the back door and be like, Carmelo, come here. Sign this contract. And we got it. Hook, line, and sinker.
That's what you said.
Yep.
All right, y'all. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. Get into sports we weren't able to talk about last week and some NFL and some World Cup goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all listen to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Holla.
Welcome back, y'all, to the Brothers Limit Sports Happy Hour. Hey, let us know your thoughts. Love to hear from you about what's going to happen in this free agency for the NBA. Let us know what your thoughts on the draft and all that good stuff and where LeBron James is going. Hit us up, brotherslayman@gmail.com, on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Hit us up on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Appreciate y'all for listening. Please continue to tune in to the Brothers Layman, where we're giving y'all that good.
That's right. All right, let's get into some NFL, which is slowly coming up.
Oh, it's already here.
Hey, amen.
It ain't never left. It feels like it never left.
It don't. And, you know, we're going to talk about Mr. Money Sign, Johnny Manziel. I know we already had
y'all are now seeing why I wasn't going to draft the kid. Y'all now seeing why I didn't want him on my team. Because I can't deal with it. I can't deal with this crap.
Yeah, it had all the pictures and, of course, his little, with them stacks of ones.
Thank you. Everybody, I saw that video when I was like, I work at the bank, dog. I know what color them straps are. I see them all the time. Them is ones. You got like $700? Good for you. Like, what? I got so much money. I'm like, no, don't.
I can't hear you.
A strap of 100 is more than that. I'm like, come on, bruh. So, it is what it is. I don't know. Apparently, it was, I don't know if before he got drafted or what. I don't know. But first of all, for him, he need to call out his homeboys. Like, look, dog, y'all can't post everything. Cell phone confiscation before you enter the premises. Give me your phones or turn them off.
Yeah.
Because this is ridiculous.
Yeah, we see in the Browns, like you said, I've already told you, Johnny Manziel,
to tone it down, and the owner was, quote-unquote, bothered by the little money phone thing that he did, which, I mean, I can understand.
And, you know, he's come out to say, he's not going to change. You know, he doesn't feel like he's doing anything wrong. And I will say, in defense, he is right at some point that it's like, when my time is off, I want to do what I want. And it's like, so it's my fault that everywhere I go, feels just like, it was Johnny Manziel in front of me. Let me tape him. Oh, he drinking. Let me tape that. Oh, he having fun. Let me tape that.
No, I'm not saying all that. My thing is this. For all rookies that come into the league, I am under the impression, like, look, I get it. I was a kid. You signed a contract. You get the big money. You know, you feeling yourself. You know, you want to floss a little bit. You know, and all that. Go to the parties. You know, Drake's calling you now. LeBron's kicking it with you now and all that. I get it. I get it wholeheartedly. He's a kid still. I understand that. But at the same time, you are now being hired at a job. Mm-hmm. You are now in a profession. And this is why I always bring it back to being a job. Because I am a manager. So I look at this through a job point of view. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if you're on my staff, tone that shit down. I know. It's like, look, I get you want to have a good time and all that, and that's fine. Whatever you do on your personal time, that's your own business. But once it hits YouTube and once it hits this Viva or whatever the hell that thing is, it becomes our business. It becomes our problem. Because if I talk down about the company I work for or if I do something ignorant and it's in the media, I get in trouble.
Right.
They're coming at me. Well, you're making us look bad. And that's what he's doing. So for me, rookies, I'm like, you're getting your feet wet. You've never been in this position before. Your head should be in the books, period. And it bugs me because I'm like, everybody's handing him the freaking starting job. And I'm like,
well, he came out and said it.
Brian Hoyer's over here probably doing his work and working his tail off. Johnny Manziel's over here partying and carrying on, and oh, he's gift wrapped the job. Hell no.
Well, he did come out and say in that,
hell no,
in his little interview or whatever, that he did say, like, Brian Hoyer has to start a job right now. He was like, I don't have the job. And he was like, when I'm in here putting in work, ain't nobody filming that. He's like, when I'm sitting here, like, nobody's filming that. But as soon as it's like, oh, work week's over, get your cameras out.
Welcome to the real world, dog.
I will say that.
Welcome to the real world. How it is.
How long before actual training camp start? I know they've had like the
month and a half.
Okay. Now I would.
Towards like the middle, right, end of July.
Now I would say once because he's got about, okay, so Miller's like, well, so he's got about 3 weeks left. Mm-hmm. You know, I expect to have some kind of picture of Manziel having a good time for next week. Oh, he's at the 4th of July going nuts.
It's one thing a good time. But once, you don't have to be at every freaking super duper event. It's okay to go out to a small restaurant and just eat dinner. Like, I mean, come on. I get it. You're Johnny Manziel. Nobody going to leave you alone. I understand that. But if that's the case, you're going out to these other public places where everybody's, oh, it's Johnny Manziel and all this other stuff. Which is it, bro? And you can't have it both ways. You can't.
And he's had, you know, Emma Smith and John Montana come out and say stuff. I think
his teammate has said the media is annoying him.
Yeah, but I'm like,
stop it.
Stop going out?
No, but like, all right, look.
Like the money stack.
Dez Bryant is a prime example. All we heard about Dez Bryant when he was a rookie and all this other stuff, he can't stay out of trouble. And what happened his rookie year and all this other stuff? He was getting in trouble. They had to put his ass on a curfew. So whatever it takes to make these cats understand, we invested millions into you. We did not pay you to taint our logo. No, you are here to make us money, yes, but at the same time, you're making money. It's not like you broke, dog. You making money off of jersey sales, endorsements, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You kicking it with Drake and all this stuff. Get to work.
Well, how do you know?
Everybody was like, oh, he's working hard leading up to the draft. Where's the work now? In the off season, in your off time, when Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and your elite quarterbacks, yes, they're doing other things. They're still putting in work.
Well, the question is, if he's putting in work, does anybody give a fuck?
I do.
But I'm saying, like, if I see Johnny Manziel, like, if I'm playing and I see Johnny Manziel looking like he's tossing, oh, am I going to be like, let me pull my phone out because Johnny Manziel looked like he's throwing like 4,000 times.
I keep up with my team all the time, and I read stuff about, you know, Peyton Manning going out to Duke University, working out with his players when they don't have to.
And he's a different breed.
It doesn't matter. That's why he's elite. And that's why he's elite. Aaron Rodgers does things. You don't hear his name. He's at, like, golf tournaments. He may be here doing this and that. Peyton Manning does crap. He goes on David Letterman, but you don't hear a whole lot of heap about it. Tom Brady. All these other dudes do stuff.
But you
People
know damn
are taking
well,
pictures you know, and damn all this well, other stuff.
If
RG3. If, I ain't heard a word about RG3 in a while. I ain't heard a word about Cam Newton.
Well, the difference is in the Fools is 3 years in the league.
What about Andrew Luck?
Well, Andrew Luck different.
What about Russell Wilson? I understand. And this is why with Johnny Manziel, I'm like, this is what I was afraid of. This. All of this crap.
Yeah. I
don't need this.
I think once the season starts.
He better ball. He better ball then. Well, because if he stinks.
If Brian Hoyer ball.
If he stinks it up, it's a wrap, son. It's a wrap. You're getting super duper criticized.
Of course.
I'm talking beyond LeBron James criticism. You're getting scrutinized.
Oh, of course, because everybody put him on this pedestal, and as soon as he suck, I'm like, let's kick the shit out of that pedestal.
Done.
Have him fall on his face.
And I am not, let me be clear, I am not wishing for him to do bad. I am not it by any means. I hope he succeeds. I hope he proves me wrong. I do. But right now, he's proving me right.
Yeah, I want to see the noise stop. I know some of it, not all, some of it is under his control.
Some of it's not, and I get that.
All right. I just hope that come
learn from this.
Yeah, come because I know the rookies have to come in sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Once business start, once training camp kicks in, that he's basically
focused, man.
You know, even on the weekend, he ain't really doing much.
Do nothing. Now,
if he's at a bar and somebody fan takes a picture and he's like, oh, he's at a bar Saturday night. I'm like, I don't care. He's at a fucking bar.
I don't care. If he's
Saturday
at
night.
A damn super party with Drake and Lil Wayne and all that. At this time, I'm like, all right, come on, bro.
But the part, if you see him like, oh, Johnny Manziel, look at him reading, going over the playbook. I think he thumbs up to that. But you know what somebody going to say?
Just he's
how that last
that.
One. Yeah, just
he's
how that last
it.
One. Oh, he just, he is he really doing that? Which is, hey, it's foul. But it's
the reality.
You know, on one hand, this is why I want to be. I want to be rich. I don't want to be famous.
I
want to
be behind the scenes famous.
I don't want
behind the scenes rich.
Yeah, I want people to know who I am, but I don't want everybody and their mama to be like, "Ooh, look, there go Chris," and just like where I can't leave my damn house.
That's the one thing I don't.
Because
I
people will blow shit out of proportion, and I think some of it is blown out of proportion. Not everything.
Some of it, though.
Yeah. You, hey, the hype was thrown to you. You caught it and ran with it. Yeah. So
you could have toned it down.
Yeah.
You could have.
But you fed into it. So now you got to deal with the stomach ache that comes with it.
You got to produce.
Yep. Let's see what else we got. That was big news. Oh, the Redskins name. This was going crazy. Hey, did you see that commercial during the finals?
Nah.
I think it's 30-second commercial. And it's showing a lot of the tribes. And it's saying, like, describing who they are. Like, we are Apache. We are Cherokee. We are these type of people. He was like, the one thing we are not. Shot at the Redskin label. And it was like, ooh. I'm like, okay. And I feel it. And, you know, you heard the government came in and stripped they didn't take the name from them, but they allowed the trademark to now anybody else can use it.
Ooh.
I was like, ooh.
That means you're playing with their money. Yeah, and when you're playing with the money, we know what happens. Oh, we got to fix that.
Yeah.
We got to fix that because we losing money now. So that means Daniel Snyder is going to be changing that name. I know fans are probably going to be mad, but you know what? When it boils down to it in the end, it is always and forever will be about money. And when you're a millionaire, like these guys, I'm talking multi-millionaires, they don't like losing money. If there's nothing else I've learned from these multimillionaires, they hate losing money more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to this, I'm sure he's going to cave. He's going to. He has no choice.
Because you know we already had the what the fuck moment about that NBA executive talking about, oh, we don't think it's offensive. If you like, if a group of people find it offensive, it's offensive.
It's offensive. No matter what your interpretation is, if it's about that group of people and they find it offensive, it's offensive.
Right.
Regardless. You can be any race, right, any ethnicity. It doesn't matter. If any word is spoken about your culture, your heritage that you guys find offensive and not cool, that's what it is.
Yeah. And
period.
It's been going on. I know you had a lot of them on a lot of high schools. I remember that period was like a gang of high schools had to change their names.
Yep.
You know, and it's not like just the mascot because it was offensive.
Yep.
It's just going to happen.
Yep.
I understand they don't want to take that immediate hit. I get that, but I'm like, long term, people will get over it. Why is it a DC thing? They had the Bullets. Did I want to see them change the name of the Washington Bullets?
No,
man. West Unseld, all that history. I'm like, why you got to change the name of the Bullets? The Wizards suck. But shit is violent.
Yep.
The Bullets has a negative connotation to it. I get it. Now it's been changed. Now I'm just like, Beta Wizards.
Yeah.
Washington Wizards. Okay. And now kids growing up, they don't need Washington Bullets. Who the hell is that?
The Washington Bullets. And it's the same with like the New Orleans Pelicans. The Charlotte Hornets are back.
That went. Ain't nobody going to remember the Pelicans.
Hornets are back again.
Yep.
The
Bobcats name in about 10 years.
Yeah. Nobody's going to remember that.
The Charlotte Hornets. Oh, yeah. They were the Bobcats. I remember that. Okay.
I'm like, a lot of people forget it was the Vancouver Grizzlies before it was the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yep. I mean,
it happens. Yeah. You know, names change all the time due to city, right, you know, team being moved to another city or just, you know, a name just being changed. It happens.
Long term, it's going to have to happen. Daniel Snyder, you're going to have to do it. It's okay. It happens. You just going to have to do it.
It's just the way it is.
Just deal with it.
Yeah.
Hey, I seen this joint that Jadeveon Clowney was like, yeah, I played with a sports hernia last year.
Okay. I mean, you're fine. That's fine. That's why you had 3 sacks. All right, fine and dandy. I mean, if that's what it is, that's fine. At this point, I could care less why you didn't perform well. You were still the number one pick. You are still a freak of nature. At this point in time, I don't give a shit what you did in college. I don't. I don't care anymore. You're on the NFL now, dog. I don't care.
That's
what you
real.
Did. I don't care what you did in college anymore. You playing with the big boys now. So, regardless, if you play with a sports hernia surgery, more power to you. That shows some toughness because in the NFL, everybody's playing hurt. So, good for you. So, I mean, when I heard it, I was like, well, shit, everybody in the NFL plays hurt. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to belittle his injury or anything. A sports hernia is a difficult injury to play with. But I'm just like, you know, you're in a sport that's violent and physical like that, dog. Everybody's hurt. I've read stories about dudes playing with broken ankles and torn ACLs and shit. I mean, fucking Phillip Rivers played with a partially torn ACL.
Yeah.
I mean, dudes play. They're tough, man. I mean, this is why girls don't play the game. Well, they do play the game, but this is why girls don't play in the National Football League, because these dudes are playing with basically body parts torn apart.
You gonna play hurt? This game is about hurting somebody, and you gonna play hurt? Or you gonna get hurt?
Or you gonna bitch out? Yeah, so that's just what it
is. And then when you don't play, then they call your name out. I mean, clearly you've seen
Jay Cutler.
Hey, I mean, you've seen all these guys who are like, yeah, these concussions drama, you know, which I read that, you know, they're going to take the cap off of that.
Yep.
But all of them dudes, would you still play like that? Yep.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Because, I mean,
the league didn't tell me about this problem I was going to have 20 years down the line. Would you still play? Oh, of course.
And like, a lot of the time when the adrenaline starts going and the blood starts flowing, half the time they don't even feel it. They don't even feel it. They're just you're basically running into a wall constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, the pain is just gone. You just don't even feel it anymore. It's been numbed.
Yep.
So, I mean, and this is, you know, you got guys miracle who, by miracle or whatever it may be, are durable throughout their careers. But even those guys are still playing hurt. It's not like they have no bruises or nicks. They still bruised up and banged up.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of what position you playing, you hurt. Even kickers get hurt. So it just is what it is. It's just part of the game.
Yeah, and then we see Vernon Davis holding out all about getting paid what you deserve. Now check that out. He had gotten a 5-year, $37 million contract with $20 million guaranteed in 2010. Mm-hmm. He feels he's outplayed that contract.
You could argue he has.
Yeah.
You could argue it.
And now wants more than that. I'm like, but you know what? You ain't Jimmy Graham.
Nope.
And you ain't a healthy Gronkowski.
Nope.
You are a second tier tight end. You ain't them dudes.
He's top five.
Yes, he's top five.
He's a top five tight end. And I mean, but it's tough, dog.
How much guarantee does he want?
Especially now they paid Kaepernick. I want
$30 million guaranteed.
And
you know that's what he's asking for. Something ridiculous like that.
Well, I play like a wide receiver. Oh, God. Here we go. Well, tight end is not really a tight end position anymore. It's more of a hybrid now. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, Jesus
Christ. Now I'm a big wide receiver.
Now I got to worry about Julius Thomas trying to be paid like a damn wide receiver. It's like, oh,
that position is starting to come that way now. Or now it's like the third glamour position.
As big as a tight end but could run like a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, keeps evolving. It's going to keep evolving. And even, I mean, to me, everything comes back full circle. It's going to come back at some point where you're going to start seeing running backs basically be, you're going to start seeing three down running backs again. I truly believe full circle, you will start seeing, you know, three down. I heard next year's draft, there's supposed to be quite a few running backs taken in the first round. So there's supposed to be a few actual three down backs who should be coming out. So I for me, everything goes back full circle. So and it comes back down to, even with the evolution of all these guys who can run and can do all this other stuff, you still have to be able to sit in the pocket and throw the ball. Period. So, I mean, what can I say?
I'm curious to see that. I like to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And for last thing with football, we've seen that Brandon Flowers signed his 1-year deal with the Chargers after getting released by the Chiefs. Oh, I love these in
And
these
he chose to stay in the division because I want to stick it to Kansas City.
Big payback.
Yep. I want to stick it to him. Plus, I mean, he's comfortable in the division. He's been there his whole career. He knows, you know, the other teams and how they play and all that. I don't blame him. I mean, it makes sense.
I don't blame
him. The only thing I question now with San Diego is I'm like, y'all got some short cornerbacks. They drafted Jason Verrett, who's 5'9". Brandon Flowers is 5'9". Their other quarterback, who they got? Richard Marshall, he's 5'10". They don't have anybody 6 feet or taller. So now you got the evolution of these wide receivers who all seem to be 6'3 or taller. You got to get some size. So, I mean, having these 5'9 dudes is great, but
I'm waiting for the next, I want to say, 5 years or so when you got a guy who's like 6'2", who's like, I want to play corner. I'm waiting for that because I'm like,
Richard Sherman's 6'3".
Okay, yeah. I think you're going to start seeing more of that because once the wide receivers get taller, you're going to get some tall dudes who are like, I want to hit.
A lot of teams now are looking for corners that are 6 feet or taller. because of your Brandon Marshalls, your Larry Fitzgeralds, your Calvin Johnson. All these guys are humongous.
Megatron.
You know what I'm saying? But you need
Julio Jones. I mean,
you need guys that are big and physical that can run, that can keep up with these dudes. So it's all evolution.
That is good, man. Hey, so you have you watched any of the World Cup?
Of course.
Okay,
I watch it at work all the time. We keep that sucker on.
Yeah, my job, they've been watching.
We just
it
keep
too.
It on in the break room, and every time, every now and then, you run back there like, "Oh, what's going on?"
Yeah, my coworker has been checking it out too.
I didn't get a chance to see today to see the Brazil. I saw little highlights, but I didn't get to see the actual.
That game was.
I didn't get to see the penalty goals, but I heard it was a fantastic
game.
Good,
yeah, I had that on today. I was watching that. Yeah, so we are officially in the round of 16.
Yeah, United States. Besides the coach and everybody, now. It was reverse psychology. I'm just like, I'm sitting here like, wait a minute. Now everybody's like, oh, that reverse psychology works so great. I'm like, oh, get the hell out of here. I'm happy for the players. F the coach. I'm happy for the players. They worked their butts off. I know a lot of people are like, well, they got in even with the loss and they sneaked in. I'm like, you know what? We got in. Yeah. I don't even care.
The teams,
all them other teams that didn't get in would love to be in the same spot we was in.
Yeah, all these teams want to get in.
Of course.
But all they care about is just surviving the
that
group
first,
round.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Brazil won.
And we survived the group of death, quote unquote.
That was the group of death.
So, more props to them.
Yeah.
Like,
hey, man. So, yeah, Brazil beat Chile. Tie again. They went to the penalty kicks.
Yeah.
And Chile almost won. Dude,
this is what I missed.
Yeah,
I love seeing the penalty kicks, man. I
man, one
it.
Of the dudes had a chance to score with like five.
Is that the one that hit off the pole?
Yeah, at the top of the pole. I was like, oh, that thing was great. And then the last one to tie it, and dude hit it right off the corner pole and was like, Chile played great, man.
They
knew
they
was going to be hard.
They battled, man.
Then Colombia beat Uruguay. Today
a lot
well.
Of people were against Uruguay even though they for the bite.
Oh yeah, with Luis Suarez.
Take a bite out of crime.
Hey man, when they replayed that, I was like, what the hell?
I saw it and was like,
yeah, you did that on purpose, man.
Yeah. Try to play it off. Oh, he hit me in the mouth. Like, oh yeah. Get out of here.
I mean
bro.
The fact that he was like, this is his third time doing it, I'm like, they had to be in them.
I saw the other two and he was I'm like,
oh, I didn't see them.
I'm telling you, take a bite out of crime. That is who he is.
Yeah, he got suspended for 9 international matches and from all the soccer activities for 4 months. Fined over $100,000. I'm like, wow.
You can't just be biting people.
Yeah, he's appealing in the court.
Dude, that's how you spread shit. You can't just be biting people. I'm serious. You can't just be biting people.
He lucky dude ain't hit him with the bow. Because dude looked like the dude swung him with the bow.
Knock your teeth out.
So, yeah, I know folks was happy with him.
Man. So, but we play the great country of waffles.
They're playing Belgium.
Who makes the best waffles?
That's going to be a good
that's
game.
Funny. No, I'm just playing. But, yeah, that's going to be a good game. You know,
yeah,
go,
you play
go
the winner
US.
Of
go
Argentina
US,
Switzerland, which I think Argentina's going to do. Hey, tomorrow's game, I know my son's having his birthday, but I will say that Netherlands-Mexico game, it's about to be nuts out here. It's about to be nuts.
I already told my coworkers I am an honorary Mexican. For these World Cup series, I like Mexico. I personally think Mexico.
That's gonna
and
be a good.
I think Mexico and Brazil, for me personally, are the best. I think when it comes to just skill, just playing the game, I think Mexico and Brazil are the best countries. I mean, it's just for me. I know the Netherlands is great. You know, Italy and Argentina and all them are fantastic. But for me, it's Brazil and Mexico. Those are the best of the best. For
no,
me.
No, that's gonna be a good game because Netherlands is good.
Yeah.
That's gonna
Mexico's
be
good too. So yeah,
man,
I can't wait.
Air TV.
Yep.
And I mean, you think USA get nuts out here when that game's on? This tomorrow's game.
Oh,
everybody watching.
Mexico's
that.
Going crazy. The Netherlands is going bananas. Everybody's tuned into their station. So
they play.
Oh, yeah.
They playing the winner of Costa Rica, Greece.
Oof.
And then you got France and Nigeria, and they'll end up playing. The winner of that will play the winner of Germany, Algeria. So. Hey, man, it's good. I've been catching up.
And I know everybody wants to talk about, oh, well, now everybody want to be a soccer fan. You know what? Look, I know for all you true soccer fans out there, you're like, well, they're just now jumping on the bandwagon. Look, be glad the United States is excited about this to begin with. We're the one country where it's not the most popular sport when it is the most popular sport in the world for a reason. And I mean, listening to Colin Cowherd, he made a great point. I mean, with soccer, it's 2 hours nonstop, basically. You get like a 15-minute break in between. And yeah. then it's done. Whereas with baseball, that you can drag on for 5 hours. You know, even basketball, even football games, like 2-3 hours sometimes. Sometimes go to 4 hours, depending on how long. I'm like, with soccer,
it's... Yeah. I mean, it's great to watch. I mean, do
in
I...
and out, it's exciting. Yeah. So, I mean, I hope soccer becomes bigger here in the United States because I plan to put my kids one day when I have them in soccer.
Oh, I'm putting
it's a great sport to play.
I'm putting my son in it. We played it. We it's played fun it. To play.
It's a great sport.
You know, is it going to beat out the big three? I don't know. The only reason I don't see it passing baseball is because you got a large amount of Latin players that mm-hmm. play baseball. So I don't – with that, I don't see it.
But I would tell you this.
For but
you,
it's pushing – it's pushing hockey.
For you parents out there, it's a great way to get your kid a scholarship school.
Yeah.
It's a great way to get your kid a scholarship to school.
Hey, all you need is a ball.
I'm just saying.
You can use any damn thing for goals. It don't even matter.
It helps your hand-eye coordination because mm-hmm. you can't use your hands.
No. But, of course, you know, back in America, what is a sport? You can't use your hands.
What's wrong with that?
That ain't no real sport.
Like, yes, it is. That's why it's the most popular sport for a reason. Because strategically, that shit is hard.
And it's fun to watch. I mean, it's not like, okay, now that everybody's, all these Americans have watched the World Cup, now we're going to really start tuning into MLS.
No.
No, we ain't.
No, y'all not. No, as soon as the World Cup over, no. as soon as U.S. is eliminated, knock on wood, if they are, yeah. y'all tuning in.
Yeah, most people are going to tune in.
Most people are done.
You know, I'm still watching because I've actually been enjoying it. Do I know most of these people's names? No. And when the, 2018 on it.
And half of y'all don't either. So don't act like that.
And when 2018 comes around, am I going to know all their names? Probably not. But
I'm going to watch.
Right. I don't know half these athletes in the Olympics when they come out. Ain't nobody. How many fools watching track now?
Right now. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? In the off time. Come on. So let's just be real with each other. So, I love seeing the patriotism. I love seeing everybody united. Mm-hmm. So, hey. We trying to go all the way, so let's go USA. Let's go.
That's right.
Let's go.
And the last sport before we get into our little awards for the week.
Yes, sir.
I know we missed it. I know it's already been a while, but we want to say rest in peace, Tony Gwynn.
Yeah.
I was sad to hear. Man, Tony Gwynn, growing up, this dude was like, he was great, man.
He was awesome.
That fool could hit anything.
He was that dude, man. Mr. San Diego. Mr. Yep. Padre. I mean...
When did he not hit 300?
And he was just a great dude all around. Yeah. He never got in trouble. He never heard any issues with him. He was a two-way player at San Diego State. Could have went to the NBA. Chose to go to the MLB. I mean, there's nothing bad you could say. I know there were a lot of people, and I'll never forget. I used to hear a lot of black people criticize him because they used to say, if you didn't show him, you'd almost think it was a white dude talking.
And
for me, I was like, I don't care. But you know how people are. People are ignorant, pride a little nitpick at every little thing. But for him, he was just a great guy all around.
All the stories I've heard, he was a great guy.
That's all you hear people say. He's a great dude.
Would extend for interviews, would always be like, hey, hooking people up, you know, introducing people to other people.
That's what I heard.
I even heard with the story somebody mentioned about the Players Association was pissed at him because they were like, won't you take more money so you can help the other guys get more? And he's like, I know where I'm playing. I want to stay here in San Diego. I'm not just going to ask for max money.
Thank you. These are the type of athletes I love because it's not about the money with them. They love playing the game. Yeah.
Are they going to get their market value? Yes. But he loves playing the game, and it's all about the game for him. And this dude...
Those are the guys who are the true Hall of Famers. Yeah. Where they just love playing the damn game.
There's nobody who's going to hit like him.
No!
I mean, this dude, now...
He's the closest thing to Pete Rose. As far as hitting went...
Oh, it was like him and...
Pete Rose were like that.
It was always... When he was playing in his prime, it was always he the next Ted Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude, he was hitting high 300s, too.
It was like him and Cal Ripken. With like the two... Dudes who were like, we stand with our teams forever. Yeah. We ain't going nowhere. We're class act citizens. You know, we play the game the way it's supposed to be played. We don't have to be paid the most money in the world. these are the guys I like seeing.
Yeah, he was that kind of guy that he would be like, he batting 400. I heard he got like 1 year, he'd have like, what, 20 strikeouts?
That's what I'm saying.
For the season. You're like, damn.
Dudes do that in like the first 10 games of the year. So, I mean, for him, there will never be another Tony Gwynn, especially now in the days where the pitchers are really dominating.
Mm-hmm.
We need Tony Gwynns. Mm-hmm. Honestly, this is when baseball needs a Tony Gwynn because it's boring. I mean, I'm just being honest. We're not seeing the home runs are down. I mean, I will say this. For baseball right now, there's a nice little battle going on with home runs. You got who my boy from Jose Abreu from the White Sox. And Edwin Encarnacion from the Blue Jays. And I believe, is it Jose Abreu? No, it's another guy from the Orioles. I forget. I think it's Jose Cruz. All of them got 25-plus home runs. So they having a little battle. They all homered yesterday. So, I mean, that to me is exciting. I love seeing home runs.
Versus the pitchers, because you already had our dude up in the Dodgers who pitched a no-hitter.
Good job, Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah. And then you had the rival team. He pitched one, I think, the other day.
Tim Lincecum.
Yeah. It's just
like, where you been? Where is that been, Tim Lincecum?
Well, shit, they're ahead of the Dodgers, The way out here, I wouldn't even know. They're like, Dodgers is good. And I looked, I'm like, yeah,
you're behind San Francisco.
Oh, okay. I didn't expect that.
But I mean, hey, Clayton, they got a nice 1-2 punch going with Clayton Kershaw and Zach Greinke. I mean, Zach Greinke was great when I'm glad he's out of the Central in my division. Thank God. But even the Royals are up there in our division. Oh my God, Lee!
It changes with baseball.
That's what I'm saying. With baseball, it's a crapshot because one day you could be like this all star, and then the next season you're batting 150 and you suck.
The Brewers are leading the Central, and last season it was the Pirates.
That's what I'm saying. You never know who's got the Athletics are leading. The Rangers suck this year.
Wow. See, I'm looking at that.
It's like you never know when it comes to baseball. This is why baseball is one of the hardest sports to play. Like hitting a 70-mile-an-hour curveball is hard. That shit is hard. So to hit a 90-plus-mile-an-hour fastball, I don't care if it is coming in a straight line.
Even when going to
the batting cages?
Yeah, when it was like an 80-mile, you'd be like, I'm swinging. And that is, I know the ball is going right over the plate. I'm supposed to stand here and like, yeah, dude can throw it right at me. And I'm like,
it could curve a little. It can go this way. It could go down. And I'm like,
I'd be scared as hell. You know what? I'd like to do it. I'd like to actually try it against like a professional just to try or minor leaguer.
Just to kind of see.
But the whole time I'd be like, dude, just
don't hit me, please.
Yeah, put it. You can put it over the plate or toward the end, but don't pitch inside.
No, please.
Because I'm already going to be like,
I'm nervous enough as it is.
He's going to throw it and it's going to barely miss my chest. I'm like, oh.
Throw a knuckleball.
I didn't even move. I'm like, oh, shit.
Throw a knuckleball. I'm ducking.
Man. Hey, man, I hope Tony Gunn gets that. I appreciate the love he's been getting. So
yeah, rest in peace to him. And I wish his family, the best in the future. I know his son's playing for the Phillies right now. I know he took some time away, of course, to be with his dad during the time and be with his family. And it's a big loss. It's a huge loss for MLB. But you know what? He will be missed. Mm. The memories are there. And, that's why we have YouTube now. Go YouTube it.
That's why it's important.
Go YouTube it.
So. All right. So it's time.
Dinner time.
Time for the awards. Of course, we start off with the good stuff. Who gets the Noice Award for you this week?
Noice. The Noice. Who's going to get the Noice Award?
Let me see if yours is different than mine.
You know what? I'm going to give it to the United States World Team, the World Cup team.
Okay.
They weren't given a chance by their coach going into the World Cup. Everybody can say it was reverse psychology now, but for me, I don't know. When I heard it, I'm like, that ain't sound like no reverse psychology I heard. But I heard the players say they were going to try their best regardless. I mean, you can see the passion they play with. They play hard. They try good. They put all their effort in. And, granted, they came up a goal short against Germany. Germany is a good-ass team. And I don't think people realize how good Germany actually is. So for us to lose 1-0, I take that. Mm-hmm. I would take that. We easily could have lost 4-0 to Germany, and I wouldn't have been shocked. Because right. Germany is just that, they're just that good. So, and our coach is from Germany.
Right.
So, I mean, so, you know, but for me, I was just like, I was proud to see them move on, regardless of how they got there. I mean, like I said, all the other teams who were eliminated would have loved to be in our shoes and would have loved to move on to the 16. So, yo, good luck against, who we got going? Belgium. Good luck against Belgium. And, you know, hope y'all, I'm rooting for them. Rooting for them to make it all the way. So, know y'all got a fan here who's pulling for y'all. For sure. All
right. My Norse Award.
Norse!
Is going to go out to Adam Silver. And this one for me is him drafting Isaiah Austin. Isaiah Austin was diagnosed with Marfan syndrome. I don't know if I'm saying it right. He played for Baylor. He's 20 years old. He was projected as a late round pick. And he went through a physical and found out he has this disease, which they say is a genetic disorder that affects the connective tissue that holds together all of the body's cells, organisms, and organs and tissue. And basically, him playing could be life-threatening.
Yeah.
So what they decided to do, since he actually made him, you know, went through the draft process at the draft and, you know, called his name, got to go up and shake his hand with the commissioner and all that. That was cool, man. I was like,
yeah, it was an emotional time for him, I'm sure. And you know, yeah. That's huge. I heard the NBA is still supposed to work with him in some capacity. And you know, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, he gets to that's go up there, you know, take the picture. Even he doesn't play. The fact that memory of being with all the other draftees and at least being there and walking on stage and all that. That was cool. So I thought that was a good moment.
And they said nobody asked Adam Commissioner Silver to do it. He just decided to do it on his own. So right now he's really winning some brownie points with a lot of people.
He's
shown he's a real class act. He's very different from David Stern.
Yes,
which is it's a good
so
thing.
Far so,
so
good.
Far it's a great thing. It's a good thing.
You know, we'll see how what changes he makes with the league, but yes, this and with Donald Sterling are two things that I truly believe David Stern wouldn't have done either one of these. Nope. So. Shout out to him. All right. We know, of course, these are always about in this damn day and age.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets your what the fuck moment?
What? What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No! 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 Fuck that!
Well, first of all, I just want everybody to know, for my joint, I'm putting out, it's called Heist of the Century, because I feel Donald Sterling is about to pull the Heist of the Century. Because ain't nothing happened. Ain't nothing happened yet. We about to hit free agency. He's still technically owner of the Clippers. I'm just saying. He doesn't get my award, but I'm just throwing that out there.
All right.
For my what the fuck moment, I got to go back a ways to Mr. Michael Vick. I couldn't believe this when I heard this. Michael Vick said, and I quote, "I was the guy who started it all. I revolutionized the game. I changed the way it was played in the NFL. The things I've done, I've pretty much surpassed myself and my expectations, over 25,000 yards in total offense in the NFL, and I missed a lot of years and a lot of games. That's more reason I have to keep going." First of all, this rubbed me the wrong way because I was like, wait a minute. You revolutionized the game. Granted, Michael Vick, when Michael Vick came out, we didn't see a real specimen like this, who a quarterback. Granted, he wasn't the tallest or the biggest quarterback, but he had a cannon for an arm. He ran like a – it was marked down. He ran a 4.240, which is ridiculously fast. So, yes, if you want to talk about the speed factor, yes, we have never seen – that revolutionized the game. We have never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
But he didn't revolutionize anything because he didn't win nothing. He didn't – do anything with all the skills, with all the talent and arm talent he had. Yes, he made human highlight reels, but, you know, he wasn't very accurate.
Nope.
He had, you know, even though he had the talent, he did not utilize it. So I'm going to go. I went through and did my research, and I'm going to go through a few quarterbacks who I feel revolutionized the game.
Here we go.
And I'm going to step it up and see what we got going on over here with Mr. Vick. All right. So Mike Vick. When Mike Vick played with the Falcons, when he had some of his best times, he had Sean Jefferson. I went and looked in the supporting cast, too. He had Sean Jefferson. He had Algie Crumpler, who was solid at the time, and Warrick Dunn. Now, Michael Vick How many 3,000-yard passing seasons did he have? Two. That's it. Two. He had two seasons of passing for more than 3,000 yards. That's it. That's it. And he ran for what? 5,857 yards in his career, which is a record. Fine. I will give him that. Now, let's get into some other quarterbacks who did it before him. Oh, we have, who we got? Randall Cunningham. When Randall Cunningham was with the Vikings, he had Randy Moss. He had Jake Reed was putting up numbers. Let's see. He had five seasons of over 3,000 yards and had over five seasons of completing over 60% of his passes. Michael Vick had one season he completed 60% of more of his passes. There you go. Then who we got now? Steve McNair. Oh, he used to run too.
Mm-hmm.
He had Kevin Dyson. He had Derek Mason, Frank Wycheck. He won the MVP. He had six seasons of 3,000 yards or more and nine seasons of 60% or more passing. Then we got Dante Culpepper. Everybody remember Dante? He had one season. He passed over 4,000 yards and four seasons over 3,000 and seven seasons where he surpassed for 60% or more. I could keep going on and on. And then my boy, Donovan McNabb. What did he do? Oh, he only had Todd Pinkston and James Thrash and Freddie Mitchell and Deuce Staley. He had nobody and had what? Eight seasons of 3,000 yards or more, five seasons of 60% or more, four conference championships, a Super Bowl appearance, and he has run for how much in his career? He's run for what? 3,459 yards. Now let's get to the ultimate person who revolutionized the game. His name is motherfucking Steve Young. I'm sorry, Michael Vick. He's a three-time Super Bowl MVP, a two-time NFL regular season MVP, has six seasons where he threw for over 3,000 yards, two seasons he threw for over 4,000 yards, 10 seasons he had 60% completion percentage or better, and ran for over 4,200 yards in his career. So don't tell me you revolutionized nothing. You didn't do anything. All these guys who are in here running around and all of this other stuff, yes, you are the blueprint for running around and doing nothing. But if you want to talk about dudes who ran around and actually did something, yes, that's the blueprint. Steve Young, Donovan McNabb, those are your blueprints of what you want to be in the NFL. RG3, I'd rather him be more Donovan McNabb than Michael Vick. I'd rather him stay in the pocket, throw the ball, which you have to do in the NFL, which is why Michael Vick has never succeeded like that in the league.
Nope.
So, I'm just saying, all these people, all this hoopla about these dual threat quarterbacks, how many of them have actually gone to the Super Bowl and won? The ones who can sit in the pocket and throw the ball. Steve McNair almost got one. He missed it by like 2 yards.
Yep.
Steve McNair. Steve Young got multiples. Donovan McNabb went to the Super Bowl. Michael Vick went to what? The NFC champion or the NFC championship game and lost to Donovan McNabb. Hey,
Colin Kaepernick went to the Super
Bowl. Thank you.
Russell Wilson went to and won a Super Bowl.
Randall Cunningham. I'm just saying. So, Mike Vick, to sit here and say you revolutionized the game, total disrespect. So, you get my what the fuck moment because I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I love it, man. I love it. Yeah, you just showed that quarterbacks can run. Oh, so you were a running back playing quarterback.
Thank you. That's all you were. Whoop-de-doo. No, I ran for 1,000 yards in a season.
Okay. Let's talk about how... Can you read defenses? Oh, wait. How long you been in the league?
Thank you.
And you still can't read
defenses? Still can't do it. I'm backing up Geno Smith. Enough said.
Mm-hmm.
Enough said.
I'm like, you got that quickness, but, you know, and nobody cares about you.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, I remember the middle finger to the fan. I remember after that he went to the NFC Championship, and then it just spiraled down from there.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, he's carrying that crap that people don't forgive him for. So
exactly.
But, yeah, I'm with you on that. My what the fuck moment. I know he did this a while ago, but I ain't going to forget this. Kevin Durant, that night after Kawhi Leonard wins the finals MVP, teammates cheering him on, giving him love like, yeah, boy, what's up? He feeling it, finally showing some emotion after three seasons of being quieter than Tim Duncan. And somebody asked Kevin Durant, you know, basically comes out on Twitter. It was like, I take Kawhi Leonard over Paul George right now. And I'm like, and even I'm like, Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that. You know, was Kevin Durant? Nah. Kevin Durant wants to come out and say that it's all basically Kawhi Leonard is all system driven. I'm like, dude, you know what? You just mad because we kicked your fucking ass. You just mad because the last time we saw you trying to make a play, you slip and fell.
Yeah.
You mad because you don't have the balls to tell your point guard, give me the rock in overtime, because you 0 for 23 in overtimes this season in the playoffs, man.
Oh, my God.
Look, does Kevin Durant have a point? Yes, I don't believe he was 100% dissing Kawhi Leonard. Yes, the system makes him good. You know, what's your system? Give me the ball. Let me work.
Yep.
And you got that system that you claiming made Kawhi Leonard kick your butt.
Yep. It did. Touche.
You know, the last time, well, the system didn't work. Oh, that's because you had James Harden. But, you know, it ain't all that.
Yep.
You the number two guy in the league. You ain't do it. You got embarrassed. Are you mad because Kawhi Leonard was D-ing your butt up? Are you mad because he was like, you know what? I need to guard Russell Westbrook because I ain't got to worry about Kevin Durant because he ain't driving. No, come on, man.
He did rain on his parade, though.
Hard. Yeah, I'm like, you did it the same night? Same
night, yeah. I'm like, you couldn't wait a couple days?
Come on, man.
You could have responded a few days later.
Yeah, you could have. But he didn't want to.
Or how about just not respond at all? You didn't have to respond to that.
Yeah, I'm taking Leonard over Paul George all day. And then Larry Bird traded him for George. He allowed my ass off. And he was like, you tripping.
Yep.
Which is like, okay, I get that.
Yeah.
You don't think he can do work in Indiana? No.
Yeah, and that it was the no yeah. period. Yeah, no which period. I was just like,
he doing work you, like you
giving
this
him no love then.
Because of the system. Put yeah. Paul George on the Spurs, what would happen? Okay.
He'd be doing the same thing. He'd be the fourth wheel.
Yeah. Well, honestly, it's like, put Paul George in the Spurs, what would happen? Paul George would probably be the number two guy on the team because we got a coach that's smart enough to be like, this dude talented. Let me get him to rock and put him in places to score. What does your coach do? Just give you, you know, nothing. How do we adjust to this? We don't know. I mean, Kawhi Leonard was putting in work on LeBron James, man.
Yeah, like, let's Kevin Durant. Yeah. Nobody Look, considers how you
about,
all defense.
How about you score 30 and you guard LeBron James?
And nobody gives you, like, all defensive yeah. team. You're not.
And the team, dude, I'm putting up 29 points. I ain't getting no plays run for me.
Nope.
Even Greg K. Cole, I don't run any plays for Kawhi Leonard. Fool was putting up 20 and 10, them three W's. He deserves it. Don't be mad. Just come out.
Yep.
Next season, demand the rock. Improve like you've been improving. I ain't hating on you. I know you want to. I want to see. Are you going to stay with your team? Like a la Tim Duncan, a la Kobe, a la all these other greats. You know what? I want to see what happens. But for that moment, what the fuck you talking about, bro? Don't be mad.
Yep.
Because he got a ring before you. It's okay. Too bad.
Yep.
Yeah. So that is the Brothers Limit Sports Happy Hour. I want to do some quick shout outs before we get out of here. I want to give shout outs to J-Dub, the QB, and She Be Show Enough for always retweeting the show, always giving us love. You know, Lavinia, AKA She Be Show Enough, you know, saying like, you want your sports talk, come here. Shout out to Mr. Moody. He does the same, even when he does his Jeff is Moody, which is on Tuesdays
on
NDN Radio. You know, he's like, I don't do sports talk like that. If you want sports talk, he, you know, prefers you out of us. So definitely appreciate that, man.
Yes, sir.
You know, you can have a better job than the intern, Moody. You can be the correspondent. You can be something. You can roll with us. We ain't going to have you down there, man. Nope. You ain't got to do mailroom duties and all
exactly.
that. You better than that, man.
Don't worry.
You know, we got love for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give a shout out to Dino Red and crew at the Red Rock Podcast and Network. Hopefully we get up with y'all soon in the Hoopla crew.
Yep.
You know, so, hey, man, it's a lot going on. Just giving love to all the other podcasters out there for doing your thing and, you know, supporting. And just for the folk who've been listening, supporting. We appreciate y'all and, you know, just want to say thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Want to thank everybody for listening tuning in to us. For the long-time listeners, I definitely thank y'all for tuning in for the long term. For all you first-time listeners, we appreciate y'all tuning in to the Buzz and Lemon Happy Hour. Go ahead and tell all your friends and family about it. Tell your mamas, daddies, tell your sisters, brothers, aunties, uncles, nieces, nephews. Tell your cousins. Tell your dogs, cats, chickens, roosters, fishes. Tell your geese, your ducks. Tell your little ones, the little babies. Who else? Tell your coworkers. Tell everybody in the world about the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour, where it goes down. And we have been your co-hosts, Chris and Jonathan, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Holla.
First national for half a mil is real fuck rational. Your armor chuck stuck like dust heads from our collateral. Certified criminal, gun smuggling villain who be filling clips, pulling in cum, swelling your genitals.
Specialist, cat burglar, stocking cap murderer, Uzi clip murderer. You got cheese, I heard of ya. You dirty rat, maneuver through traps and torture doors. Plastic explosive bags of C4.
Yeah, flash a cannon, deliver these clowns and understanding. The cash rules don't nothing move, kid. 500 grand in the war, son. Make it assault, one on my way to the goal line. Fucked around. I fumbled up the wrong
time. I took the phone lines, cut the alarm, the pipe bomb. Detonates in 7 minutes, the first task we in it. Lace the tear gas, put on your mask, load the bags, check the roof for the Jake, I'ma climb the gate last.
Scan the internet, copy the floppy, shut the drive off, incinerate the whole data bank before we slide off. Time check, 2400 is still wasting. Your minutes keep racing, let's blow this foundation.
Keep patient, I got the whole Dole administration on CD-ROM, smuggling firearms, and a date to attempt to assassinate Farrakhan. From his Middle East trips and building with Saddam.
Yo, it's the heist of the century, kid. We execute right, we going down in history. Get the loot and live life how it's meant to be. A stolen legacy, live Egyptian mystery. Word up, yo, it's the heist of the century, kid. We execute right, we going down in history. Get the loot and live life how it's meant to be. A stolen legacy, live Egyptian mystery. We on our way out, the future laid out. Our brain scrambling on edge. Break a cold sweat, but never panicking. Shooken up, two officers looking up. We spotted, pull the heat out, and have both their asses red dot.
Don't move, we got the bank money, not yours. Think of your kids and calmly lay on the floor. Put your hands high, done get their guns. Then break them, slap one with the barrel, make them bleed.
It's like a minute and 10 left. We playing with death, and I can hear the bomb tick. Sweat drip on the bag, my palm rip. Final mission completed, all bank funds depleted. Hit the turnpike. Bounce to the stash, it's split it even.
The blueprint went excellent. Wisdom guard seconds for the dynamite. On the next flight, before daylight, exit through the back entrance. Jump the fence, then slide in the rover with the triple black tents. We hit the government. Word up, done. We hit the government. Know what I'm saying? Yo, it's the heist of the century. We execute right, going down in history. We get the loot and live life how it's meant to be. A stolen legacy, live Egyptian mystery. Word up, yo, it's the heist of the century. We execute right, going down in history. Get the loot and live life how it's meant to be. A stolen legacy, live Egyptian mystery. Egyptian mystery. Know what I'm saying? A stolen legacy.
There's nothing like love and success. Your legacy is to
lock the facts.